May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 192. As newborn babes desire the breast to feed and grow and thrive, so saints with joy the gospel taste and by the gospel live. Hymn 192.
Thank you. Let us turn to God's holy word and read from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 12. And we will commence reading at verse 13. A time just before Jesus' crucifixion when he was in Jerusalem. Mark 12, commencing at verse 13. And they send unto him, that is Jesus, certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians, to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marvelled at him. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, If a man's brother die, and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbour as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor woman hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. May the Lord help us now in prayer. Almighty and most gracious God, we do pray that thou wouldst now grant us that true spirit of worship, that true spirit of prayer before thee. O Lord, how earnestly we need thee to appear for us, to help us as we seek to minister this night, as the brethren seek to hear. O Lord, we do pray that the word may come with that power, not the power of a man, but the power of Thine Almighty, who art Almighty God, that power that touches the soul and the heart, not just the ear. O Lord, we do pray, do come, we pray, and help us, as we are vile sinners, how needy we are that we be helped us so especially to come and minister the word. And O Lord, do help the people in hearing, that there may be that which is profitable. As it may be said, it is good to be here. And, O Lord, how we have that need of a right spirit. O Lord, how often we have before us solemn words to bring before the people. O Lord, we do pray that an ear may be given to hear, that we may be kept faithful to declare the whole counsel of God, not fearing men's faces. But, O Lord, may we, in thy holy fear, in faith, set forth the whole counsel of God. Do grant that help, we do pray. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou hast blessed the people here in this church and congregation, and those are the friends that are visiting from other churches. We do pray for thy favour to rest upon them, and thy grace and thy mercy. O Lord, how we need thine appearing in this nation and in the churches. O Lord, we do pray that the preaching of the word this day may come with power. That which has been sown of thy holy word this day, do water it, we beg. that there may be fruit in due season, that it may be known that we have been with Jesus. And, O Lord, we do thank thee for that testimony in the past day. O Lord, that thou hast been in the midst. And, O Lord, we do pray that there may be more such testimonies in this place and in others, that thou hast been in the midst, revealing thyself as a saviour of sinners, a friend of sinners, a merciful and gracious saviour. And, O Lord, we do pray for thy servants, many of whom are aged and infirm, that thou mightest be pleased to help them and strengthen them. Those that are sick at this time, we particularly think of our friend John Broome, that thou wouldst grant him that strengthening in body and in spirit, that he may yet be strengthened to go on in his labours. If he could please thee from the pulpit, but, O Lord, we do pray thou wouldst continue to favour him in his ministry of writing and publishing. And, O Lord, that may bear forth much fruit to thine honour and glory. And others of thy servants who are weak, but, O Lord, may they be strong in the spirit. And, O Lord, we would pray that thou wouldst raise up more ministers of the everlasting gospel to proclaim the everlasting word, and pastors to be raised up in the church as we pray. O Lord, we do pray for thy help. And, O Lord, thy favour to rest upon those that are unable to be here. We think of our friend Benji, laid aside with this evening. And, O Lord, that thou wouldst grant him thy favour and recovery. And others unable to be here for whatever cause. And those caring for young ones and the babes. O Lord, do favour them. And those that are caring for the sick and the elderly. O Lord, do meet with them and do be with them. And O may thy one true church throughout this world, especially those in poverty and in the midst of wars, in the midst of famines and in the midst of persecution. O Lord, we pray for thy help, and those that have not the scriptures, but are crying out that they may have the word. Indeed, we have heard thy word. We have thy word before us in a faithful translation. And, O Lord, how we would praise thee that it is so. So many of thy people have not that privilege of possessing the scriptures. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant their heart's desire. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to bless thy word as it goes forth the four corners of this earth. And, O Lord, as we have received the word and have publicly read it, and as we hope by thy grace to proclaim thy word, O Lord, do grant us that we may have the more earnest heed, that we may know it to be thy word, who art the King of kings and Lord of lords. And, O Lord, may the entrance of thy words give light, light unto our path, light unto the way, light unto glory. Do help any that are in particular need, in distress, in sickness or in weakness or in perplexity, do guide them. And, O Lord, we would pray then for thy favour and thy mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn 255. Happy the men that fear the Lord, they from the paths of sin depart, rejoice and tremble at his word, and hide it deep within their heart. Hymn 255.
May the Lord help us in turning to the chapter we read, Mark chapter 12. And a few words that we will find in verse 34. Mark 12 and the middle portion of verse 34. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. This may seem a strange text to take, but it is the word of God. I know that last time I was here, I preached concerning the kingdom of God as well, but I cannot set aside the subject, it being laid upon my spirit to bring before you, nor can I flatter you. There's a most solemn responsibility of those in the ministry to bring before the people all that will hear the whole counsel of God. In Ezekiel chapter 33, there the Lord speaks to Ezekiel. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. That is why I'm so burdened concerning the salvation of your souls, the salvation of those who I preach in front of. And it is most needful that we should know the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. Just come to the context. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is in Jerusalem, only a matter of days before his crucifixion. And the religious leaders, and indeed those who are not so religious, such as the Herodians, who supported the Roman oppressors and occupiers, they sought to catch Jesus in his words, that they might entangle him, may give him cause to condemn him, either in front of the multitudes or in front of the Romans, that they may try to ruin him. They asked him the question, should they pay tribute or tax to Caesar or not? If he should say yes, then they could accuse him before many of the people of siding with the Roman occupiers. If he said no, they would have been the first to have reported Jesus to the Romans for inciting rebellion. But we read the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he saw through their hypocrisy. Indeed, they were far from the kingdom of God. Although they had a show of religion, they were motivated, despite their words, by hypocrisy and hatred for the Lord. Though they professed to honour him, they sought to destroy him. I truly hope that there are none such in our gathering tonight. But there are those who have been so far from the kingdom, brought by the glorious and miraculous power of God, suddenly into the kingdom. To be under the authority of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To be then brought under his protection and loving and almighty rule. Think of Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee of the Pharisees. One who sought to have men and women thrown into prison for the testimony of Jesus, to have them killed, punished. And prison in those days is not like prison today in this country. Prison in those days was the most fearful place to be thrown. And he desired that those who professed Jesus, whether women, children, as well might be thrown there, that they may be killed. Such was his hatred of the Lord. But the Lord suddenly appeared to him. And by that almighty call, was brought into the kingdom. And for Saul of Tarsus, prayed, Lord, who art thou? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, saith the Lord. Then he cried, what wilt thou have me to do? There was a profession that he was under the kingship of Christ. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord brought him into that felt liberty from his sins in the coming days in Damascus. Although he was in that darkness, in such grief, neither eating nor drinking, yet the Lord sent Ananias, his servant, to come and put his hands upon Saul to pray for him, to speak words of comfort to him. And those scales, as it were, scales fell from the eyes of Saul. His sight was restored. He was baptized. And he went forth and preached Christ. He was in the kingdom. Gloriously delivered. One who was so far, suddenly brought close. We read in the Acts of the Apostles of the Philippian jailer, who only hours before his conversion had seen to it that Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into the inner dungeon, prison, chained, only to be again by the almighty power of God in that great earthquake that didn't just shake his jail but shook his very soul. And he was about to kill himself when Paul cried out to him. He came trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they preached unto him the gospel, and he believed. And I know that whatever warning I give of my own power, it cannot persuade any, so as to bring them into the kingdom. For this I most firmly believe. It is called by God to preach the gospel. The Lord works by the same miraculous power today. It may be in a less obvious form as an earthquake, but the Lord is still the same. He will shake to the very core the heart and soul of a man or woman or a child called by grace. And by that miraculous power, the power of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the power of that precious blood, will wash away sins that are seen, thought to be unforgivable. Take away that heart of stone that simply will not believe. Thus we preach in hope, praying that the Lord would, through our words and the words of his servants, work that which is miraculous in the heart. Thus we send forth the warnings. Thus we point the way that leadeth to eternal life. So we've spoken about the Pharisees who are so far. Only the Lord knows each one of your hearts. Various of the Lord's servants down the years have had to follow in the path of their master. The servant is not above his master. Have been called to preach in front of those who would flatter with their lips but seek to destroy their ministry. We also have the Sadducees. In some respects, they may be referred to as the liberals of their day. They didn't believe a matter unless it could be shown them. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe most of the Old Testament. They only believed the first five books, the Pentateuch, so called. And they came unto the Lord again to bring him to confusion and to ridicule with their foolish fable of the woman who married seven brothers, one after the other. And who would have her after the resurrection was the question. But our Lord answered from the very book of Moses. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Those that are risen again. In that incorruptible bodies. Redeemed souls in heaven are like the angels. Do not marry or are given in marriage. Such relationships are for this earth. The church triumphant in heaven. Well, there is that glorious communion, one with another, but so vitally with Christ. That the Lamb is all the glory thereof in Emmanuel's land. The Sadducees, so far from God, disbelieving the very power of God, the spiritual nature. God is a spirit. They denied both the resurrection and that there were such things as spirits. Disbelieved most of the holy word of God. Far from God. Far from the kingdom. Well, then we have one of the scribes who heard them reasoning together and asked this question, which is the first commandment of all? And here we have someone who our Lord in our text states, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. He was not showing open hatred of the Lord. He was not flattering the Lord. He saw the Lord had answered most wisely. He asked an important question. Indeed, the answer to that question does it not point us to the kingdom of God? For those that are brought to the kingdom of God, how do we know that we are truly in the kingdom? There's that love unto the Lord. That love in our heart, in our soul. And where there is that of the old nature that it rebels against such desires, oh, how we mourn over it. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, is the cry. Lord, increase our faith, is the cry. You may say, well, I feel that love unto the Lord in my heart, but I do not know that I'm in the kingdom. I do not know that I'm his. Well, if we love him, we love him because he first loved us. And if he first loved us, that love is eternal. And because he so loved, he shed his precious blood. If there is love in your heart unto the Saviour, though you know that there is the old man rising up, the devil tempting, is that not that love in the heart, in the soul, that evidence that you are in the kingdom? That our Lord shed his precious blood for you, that your sins are all forgiven? And then we have the second commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is an outward evidence that if we truly love God, shall we not love our brother or neighbour who we see? And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. There is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbour as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. It's worth more than all outward, even ever so correct forms of religion. And Jesus said, when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Now we must consider two more categories that we find in the Bible. We've considered those who are far from God, far from the kingdom of God, who hate Christ. We have one here who is not far. But note, the Lord does not say that he has entered in. We read no more concerning this scribe, so we must leave that before God who knows all things, whether this man subsequently was brought to enter into the kingdom, or whether he remained not far from it. That is a searching matter that we should consider before God. Do we have that, as it were, spiritual possession, looking unto Christ, believing in his holy name, laying hold upon Christ, believing to the salvation of our souls, having that sweet, use the word possession, it is a possession of the kingdom in Christ Jesus. Or are we not far, but not possessors? Had the solemn meditation before the service about Noah. Or Noah and his sons and their wives, they were called by God to come. Indeed, Noah was warned of God and prepared the ark to the saving of his soul by faith. And they were called to come into the ark. And the Lord shut them in. They were in the ark. Would not have done for them to be outside of the ark, even if they had been right next to the hull of it. Had to be in to be saved. There must have been many who saw the ark. Perhaps some who might even have helped to labour with it even. We do not know, but such a large boat as that. There are certainly many that must have mocked it, disbelieving Maybe those who'd looked at it and were interested to see what would happen. But unless they were in the ark, there was no deliverance on that great day of judgment. And so it is, as the ark is a type of Christ, the one ark of salvation for all. All that should be saved must be in the ark. There is no salvation outside. Outside of Christ there is no deliverance. He will not save us to be in some way some sort of admirer. One who, like this, at this particular time, the scribe, who said, well, to the Lord, you answered well. What is said is truth. Yes, not far from the kingdom, but is there any personal walking in this? Is there entering into the kingdom? We have the rather searching example elsewhere of those who were near but did not enter in. We have Felix, the governor, who heard Paul on a number of occasions. But he was seeking to make a gain. He trembled even at Paul's teaching. But then there came a time when he moved from his governorship and, as far as we know, heard the gospel no more. Then we have King Agrippa, who, according to history, was brother-in-law to Felix. King Agrippa comes, and Paul speaks the truth before him. King Agrippa is recorded in history as one who, in many respects, acted justly. When James, the apostle and bishop of Jerusalem, was slain at the orders of the high priest before Jerusalem was destroyed, Agrippa, it is recorded, put that high priest out of his priesthood for such an act. But yet we do not read of Agrippa coming to any saving knowledge of Christ. After the destruction of Jerusalem, understand that he spent the rest of his days in Rome. But we read concerning Agrippa, almost, he said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost a Christian. He knew about these things. He knew of their veracity, their truthfulness. He knew of the consistency of Paul. Was respectful to Paul. He knew of the faith of the believers. He was not bitter against them. But did not himself enter into the kingdom. It greatly troubles me that there may be some or many, the Lord knows, who are almost Christians in our churches. And are not concerned either. It's an altogether different matter to be one who is not far from the kingdom, but is one who is pressing forward to the mark. There is a true sign that one who shall attain unto the kingdom, press on, press forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One who is seeking, one who is earnestly imploring, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Like blind Bartimaeus, we mentioned this morning. When he heard Jesus pass by, he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. The There he was one who was not far, and by crying out unto the Lord had mercy upon him. And there one of the signs that he had entered the kingdom. Come under the sovereignty, feelingly, of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, was that we read that the Lord opened his eyes, that he could see, and he saw the face of his Redeemer, Christ. The first sight that he had was of the face of Jesus. And then we read that he followed Jesus, giving glory to God. There is a true sign that we're in the kingdom. We can follow the denomination, we can follow the chapel. Some follow ministers around. But the question is, are we following Christ? Are you following Christ? Or are you an almost a Christian? Unconcerned, or even perhaps in some secret way, frightened, as I spoke this morning, of the consequences of praying, of truly seeking God, fearing what might have to go in your life. Truly the only antidote to that is the almighty power of God revealing Christ in his power and his glory, his love, his attractiveness, to see that what is gained in Christ Jesus so infinitely more than that which shall be lost in this world. Almost a Christian. We have the parable of the sower. And the seed is the word that was sown by the sower. The word of God. It was all good seed. But in particular there was that fell in the stony ground, sprung up immediately. Seemed to be immediate evidence, but there was no root. When trial or tribulation or persecution came on account of the word, they were offended. Took offence. Didn't think it would be like this. Never imagined that the way of the kingdom should be one of tribulation. But the word says, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It is through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom. Let us be very clear. That is what I desire to bring forward. Before you is the way into the kingdom. Indeed, the way is Christ Jesus, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And as I've already quoted, servant is not above his master. As our Lord, as they persecuted him here below, as his way was a path, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We cannot expect that the way through this wilderness that leads to heaven itself will be a smooth and easy one. Of need to understand that, to receive that, and rather to look on unto the heavenly prospect, saying that whatever we suffer here below is but as nothing compared to the glory that awaits those that are in Christ Jesus. Then there are those that were sown, the word was sown amongst the thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and they choked that wheat that grew up, and it bore no fruit. That very especially describes almost Christians. Bearing no fruit, having heard the word of God, choked by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, all the cares of other things coming in, and the word is unfruitful. The love of other things draws aside to show that in reality they loved this world more than Christ. But let us consider some other texts concerning the kingdom of heaven. We have in Mark chapter 10, a couple of chapters earlier than the one that we've read. Verse 23, Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is the love of money. It is the root of all evil. In our day of much material affluence, what a snare that is. The love of money, trusting in riches, the ambition of this world. The word of God is abundantly clear here. Know that we may have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. One who trusts in riches. But on the other hand, we read of reference to the kingdom of heaven, the parables of our Lord, where we read of one who finds a pearl of great price, sells all that he has and buys that pearl. One who finds a treasure in a field and sells all that he has and buys that treasure. Why is that field? Wherein is that treasure? Do they see that there is nothing more valuable than the preciousness of Christ? Laying aside every weight and every hindrance. As laying aside that career that many advised you to take. Indeed, you had that ambition to take. But led in the opposite direction to the kingdom of heaven. There was not the call of God, but was the call of ambition from the sinful heart. How many we fear in this present day are seeking to enter in with all their riches and the love of it. The love of the pleasures, the love of praise of men, the love of worldliness. We also have in Mark chapter 13 another teaching concerning the kingdom of heaven. And how we should seek to enter by God's grace. No, it's not Mark 13, I'm sorry. Where our Lord teaches, the children come unto him? Mark 10, that's right. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. How beautiful it is that our Lord takes up the little children, powerless of themselves, but the Lord takes them up in his arms and blesses them. So it is for every seeking soul, powerless of ourselves. The Lord takes them up. If you are truly seeking him, the Lord shall take you up in his arms and bless you, and you shall be blessed indeed. No one else shall take it away. Some of us have had the trial of having been blessed of the Lord, but condemned even by the saints of God. But if the Lord is blessed, no matter what the disciples say, you shall be blessed indeed, and eternally so. But we see here this principle: whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. That childlike faith. How the devil can make these matters so complicated, set up all sorts of hurdles, all sorts of qualifications which are not in the word of God. It struck me very strongly with a young friend at Chippenham who was baptised only 6 weeks or so ago, age 19. How clear her testimony was. Being brought under that sense of her sins and being delivered into a good hope in Christ Jesus. And how she came forward in obedience to the heavenly command. It's not a long or involved testimony, but a true and a spiritual one. One who had been brought to salvation in Christ. And somebody said to me, who was a lot older and who was not a member, quite shaken that somebody aged 19 should come forward to be baptised. Well, there's always a devil that will say, well, to one who, and I'm talking about any here that are truly possessors of the kingdom, truly know a good hope in Christ Jesus, the devil's always there to tempt you to say, well, you're too young, or you haven't got enough experience, or you haven't got this or that or the other. And no doubt when you get older, another devil would come along and say, well, now you're old, there is no benefit in going forward after all these years. You've gone along so well and you've never made an open profession of Christ. Let us rather listen to the word of God than to the devil. For the word of God is quick, a two-edged sword. We're to receive the kingdom of God as a little child, that simple, loving receiving of the word. Our little child will put his or her hands into the hand of their parent and follow them. Go with them. Be content to go with them wherever their parent should lead them. Or may we put our hand into the hand of God, so to speak, and follow him, follow Christ. If we truly have that good hope in Christ Jesus, are we not his? The kingdom of heaven is within you, we read. There's the work of the Spirit within, giving that good hope, which is much attacked by sin and Satan, but that good hope. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed. That faith may seem ever so small, but if it is real, what a powerful testimony that is that we're in the kingdom. But beware of the devil that will try to lead you to seek something other than a simple childlike faith. It'll only lead into perplexity, to trouble, barrenness, But let us consider one who was not far and who came. We considered those and warned about those like Agrippa, almost a Christian. We have the testimony of God concerning one who was not far and who came. That is Nicodemus. He came unto our Lord. We read of that in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Ye must be born again. That new birth by the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, giving that new desire, a new love, rather than the love of sin. There's that love unto the Saviour. Nicodemus came by night, fear of man. We would not wish to be seen with Jesus in public. Is that how anyone here is? Ashamed of Jesus? Or sit here in chapel, in the worship of God? Or when it comes to school or work or whatever other acquaintances we have, try to dress like the world, behave like the world, talk like the world, be with the world, friend of the world. He who is a friend of the world is the enemy of God, says the word of God. We may not be far from the kingdom, but we are dangerously outside it. Or may we be delivered by the almighty power of God from the fear of man, which bringeth a snare. Our Lord did not flatter Nicodemus, but brought him plainly and immediately to the truth. He must be born again, to the very thing that Nicodemus lacked. Nicodemus was astonished, knew nothing of these things, but he left that interview with Jesus, hearing an astonishing truth. And we have every reason to believe it was the seed planted in his heart that bore forth fruit. And we read, as we read on concerning our Lord's words in John 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There indeed is the way into the kingdom. Looking unto Jesus by faith, like those in the wilderness who were dying on account of their sin. And Moses, by commandment of God, raised up that serpent in the wilderness, and those that looked lived. That look of faith, as we have recorded here, is to believe. Believing upon his precious name, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There is salvation. Look unto him. Look unto me. Come unto me. Look unto me, said our Lord. We have that in Isaiah 45. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. We read concerning Nicodemus in John 7. Here we find Nicodemus, as it were, a little closer. The Pharisees had, and the chief priests and the Pharisees had denied Christ. Said that those that had listened to Christ were deceived. He was a deceiver, they said. They set themselves up. This people who knoweth not the law accursed. And then we read Nicodemus speaking up. Saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our Lord judge any man before it hear him, and knoweth what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search, and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Well, indeed, our Lord was born in Bethlehem, of the lineage of David, in fulfilment of the scriptures concerning the Messiah. Now we see Nicodemus a little closer, as it were. But then we read of Nicodemus in John chapter 19, when our Lord had shed his precious blood. The Lord has been crucified upon the cross, had laid down his life as the Lamb of God, had offered up that acceptable sacrifice to atone for sin. The sin of every one of the elect, a number that is only known to God. But in so believing, we believe there the sovereignty of God in salvation, and that those for whom Christ has died shall never be lost, shall persevere unto the end by God's grace. Indeed, if you look in your passport, if you have one, you'll see that at the back there is a customary statement there on behalf of the Queen, our monarch, to afford protection to the bearer of this passport. And it is true that those who have entered into the kingdom of God, who are in Christ Jesus, a heavenly King, affords all protection and shall deliver us and bring us to his glorious kingdom at last in the skies. But to return to Nicodemus, after our Lord had shed his precious blood, lay down his life, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, here was another one who was perhaps not far, like Nicodemus, but here they together enter in, profess Christ, own him, give that testimony before Pilate and all, that this is the one who they love. Being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothed with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. There they professed their love to their Lord who laid down his life. And on the third day, our Lord rose again, declared to be the Son of God, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That glorious proof that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, King of his people, their ruler, their protector, the good shepherd. And one day he shall return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then it shall be revealed on that great day who are his and who are not. You may say, I'm poor and of a contrite spirit, but this is the one to whom the Lord will look. I'm too poor. But what does it say in Sermon on the Mount? And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poverty will never exclude any from this kingdom. Riches will, earthly riches, they're a hindrance. Poverty, rather a qualification. For those that are poor in spirit, they know they have nothing of themselves, but they look unto a precious Saviour and the glorious treasures in heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is, not might be, but is, the kingdom of heaven. May we thus seek and find. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £615, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day. And God willing, he will address the Sunday School in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And our friends at Oakington hope to hold a prayer meeting on New Year's Day at 10:30. Let us close with hymn 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves, through grace, are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Hymn 535.
Thank you.
Lord, we do pray that we may depart with thy blessing, to be given thy safe care and travelling and return home. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us each evermore. Amen.